So we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Amud Beis, a sugya towards the bottom of the Amud that goes on to Daf Lamed Amud Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is trying to organize a Be'idna situation where he violates both a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon at the same time. According to Nechudi Ben Akana, could be a Chiyuv Karis and a Chiyuv Mamon at the same time. But there has to be absolute synchronization. You know, it's got to be in sync. So the Gemara asks the following question. L'chora, once the person takes the, let's say in the case of Truma, he takes the Truma of a Kohen, or in the case of Chelev, he takes the Chelev of Yisrael, and he lifts it up. The very moment he lifts it up, he's Kone with Agbah, King Gzela. So he's already Chayev to pay for that. And the Chiyuv Misa comes later when he eats the Chelev or when he eats the Truma. So the Gemara answers, this is about five lines up before the end of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Kigon Shetochav Lo L'toch Beis Habliya, that his friend took the Truma and shoved it down his throat, or he took the Chelev and he shoved it down his throat.
But he still picked it up first.
Well, Shimon picked it up, but not Reuven. No, Shimon picks up the Chelev and he shoves it down the throat of Reuven. So Reuven, in this case, is not Chayev until he swallows it, because he didn't do anything until he swallowed it. And at the moment that he swallowed it, he incurs a Chiyuv Misa. He's either as a Tzar or... But by the way, Yosef, how are you? And these are old, so you just put them in the back. I only take them out here just in case anyone needs them. So there are a number of questions that we have to ask just in terms of Mitzvah, what exactly went on here. One of the questions is, did Reuven, who swallows it, did he commission Shimon to place it into his mouth? And they were really working, so to speak, in cahoots. And the reason I ask that question is because we have a famous shita of the Ra'ah, which we discussed last week. I'll just review very quickly what the Ra'ah says, and this you'll see on the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Vav, if you have that, on the bottom left, the end of the page. And the Ra'ah is of the opinion that once Shimon has picked up the Chelev or the Truma, he already stole it at that point. And he has no intention of returning it. He's going to feed it to someone else, and it'll be consumed. It'll be completely out of the orbit of the world. And therefore, Shimon will call him the Tochev, who's Chayav Bishum Gzela. And the Ra'ah assumes that the one who swallows it, he's not Chayav Bishum Gzela. It's already stolen. So that's question number one. And that is, why should Reuven, who swallows it, be Chayav according to the Ra'ah, insofar as the Ra'ah says that the Magbia, we'll call him Shimon, who picked up the Chela, picked up the Truma, he's the one who stole it, and the Ra'ah's premise is that once it's stolen, that's it, it's stolen. So that's one issue. The other issue is whether or not Reuven could be liable for swallowing Chela when it was basically shoved down his throat. In fact, Rashi at some point, Dibra Maschil, the Ilo Motzi, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page, Rashi used the word anusu, the phrase anusu. So we'll go through all the various cases, but it could very well be that Shimon should be off the hook simply because he's an anus. That's another issue that we have to address. Now, in terms of the Ra'ah, we have here a possibility of squaring with the Ra'ah. Actually, you know, we have to add another introduction here. And that is, the Gemara Bava Kama says that there could be two people that are chayav for the same gzela, for the same object, as long as there was no yeush between the first gzela and the second gzela. So we'll say that the first one stole it, and the bialim would not misyayush, and then the second one comes and he eats it, let's say. So So the Gemara establishes Ratzon Mizegova, Ratzon Mizegova, that both are chayev. The gazan is chayev for stealing it, and the ochel is chayev for eating it. Again, because there was no yeish in between. So that now we can ask the following question on the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah assumes that in this case of a tochev, only the tochev would be chayev mishum gzela. He shoves it down the throat of the ochel, and the ochel is not—he's not the one who destroyed it. Basically, it's Shimon, the one who stole it, and you know, instead of eating it himself, he gives it to someone else to eat by shoving it down his throat. I mean, according to the Ra'ah, how do we understand the Gemara Bava Kama, Ratzemizegova, that they both could be chayev? And the truth is that there's also a Balamor, Rabbi Mizrachi Alevi, who says that the first gazlan is the gazlan and not the second gazlan who eats it. There also seems to be other Rishonim that agree with this Balamor. He's not alone. So let me just summarize what we said here last week in the last paragraph on Kuf Lamed Vav. And Herb, you weren't here last week, so you'll pick it up now. We said the following, that there's a fundamental difference between the Balamar, who says that only the first fellow is the gazlan, and only he's chayev, and the Gemara Bava Kama, Ratzon Mizegova, Ratzon Mizegova. The difference is as follows. In the Gemara Bava Kama, it doesn't say the word tochev betoch beis av. That phrase tochev betoch beis av doesn't appear there in the Gemara. The Gemara says ba acher v'ochlo. That's the Gemara's language. Ba acher v'ochlo means that after Shimon stole the food, he left it on the table, let's say, and Reuven comes along and he picks it up and he eats it. In such a case, since there was no yeish in between, both are liable. Both Shimon, who stole it, and Reuven, who ate it. Shimon is chayev because of the Kenyan gzela when he lifts it up, and Reuven is chayev because he makes it impossible for the nigzal to get back his food, because now it's completely consumed. It's in a place that's inaccessible. He can't even regurgitate it. There's no way he can get to it. When does the Baal HaMor say that only Shimon, the one who stole it, is chayev, and Reuven, who ate it, is potter? Okay. That's tochev. That's where the case where Shimon puts it down his throat. And in that case, Reuven is not engaging in an active achila, which could be machayev. I'll read to you inside. He says, Das balamor, the adkan lo kam lo amrin and rasam yisego ve'elk sheba acher v'ochla. That's when we say that the ochel is chayev because he too participates in the stealing of this object, meaning the object by virtue of his eating of Shimon's eating it is no longer in the veld. It's no longer available. Hainu shalachol it me'atzmo. He took it on his own. He wasn't a nitchav. Our sugya here is a case of he'echila ha'gazlan. The gazlan fed it to the ochel. It wasn't that the ochel ate it on his own, with his own initiative, his own action. He, for all intents and purposes, was passive, and the gazlan did the whole thing. You know, in one fell swoop, he did everything. And that's called hotzah didehu, that the gazlan is the one who took it out of his rishus. In fact, the gazlan not only took it out of his rishus, but he put it down someone's throat. It's who hagazlan chayev l'shalem. Mishum da machil acherim ki ilu ochlu hu biatzmo domi. You know, it's he's consuming it, not personally into his body, but by feeding it to someone else. And that's the opinion of the Baal HaMor and the Ra'ah, and the Ramah, I should say. The Ramah is another Sephardic Rishon. However, on the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin, he quotes a Rashba. The Rashba disagrees. In other words, the principle of Zeh Ratzon Mizegov applies even in the case of Machila. Now, Lechora, our Gemara would support the Rashba, And this is going to be the question of the Machna Friday. Let's go back to our Gemara. The Gemara is trying to establish that in the case of Tochav lo chaver b'toch beis abuya, Ruvein the Ochel is Chayim. L'chor, that's against the Rama and the Adrama and the Balamor. Because according to the Adrama and the Balamor, since it was Tochev l'toch piv l'toch beis abuya, then that's another way of the goslin getting rid of the object. But it's not that the ochel is in any way chaya for that. So how can the Gemara say that this is a case of kim leib the rabbi minay? So we offer two answers to this question, both in the name of the Imre Moshe. The first answer is much more fundamental, and he says the following: that the reason why the Balamor will admit in our case that the Ochel is Chayav is because the Gazlan never made a Kinyan on the object. What does that mean? Kinyan requires that you take it for your own use. You steal it from someone's possession for your purposes in order to enjoy that object. But if your intention is only to feed someone else, which means it's Lutzara Chavero, and you have Kuflam and Vav? I'm sorry, Kuflam and Zayin? If you have Kuflam and Zayin, you want to underline the top line on the left column. And he says that here in our case, why isn't the Rishon called a Gazlan? Shalom Nakla Lutzara Atzmo. He was not at all interested in benefiting from it, for himself. El Lutzara Chavero. And here's where we have a problem, because Reb Chaim holds that any kinyan gzela, unlike other kinyanim, is when he wants to take it out of the rishus of the nigzal, and he has no intention of returning it to the nigzal. And Reb Chaim quoted a gemara to prove this. The gemara Bava Kama says that a notel matbea shal chaver v'zar kol yam chay mishum gzela. He takes his friend's coin and he throws it to the bottom of the sea. He's a gazlan. And that's what the Gemara establishes in two places. Number one, it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Number two, it's also in a different form, a Gemara in Gittin, because the Gemara in Gittin says he took his friend's wine and he poured it for Avodah Zarah. So Reb Chaim says that a gazlan is chayiv even if all he wants to do with the object is to destroy the object. He's not taking it for his own benefit, his own purpose. He just simply wants to destroy it. And the very moment he picks it up, he's considered a gazlan. And you'll see this Gemara Bava Kamma Daf Tzadiches quoted here in the next paragraph, Dibra Masuli Ulam, Da Zorek Matbeah Shel Chaver Liyam, and Yushak Li Almanas Lizrok Liyam, so he picked it up in order to throw it in to the Yam, Nase Gazlan. So really, you know, you would have said, you and I, that a person takes his friend's coin and he throws it to the bottom of the river, he's chayav as a mazik. But the Gemara says he's chayav as a gazlan. And Reb Chaim says, why? The answer is because as long as he wants to take the object in such a way that it will not be returned to its rightful owner, that's considered kinyanik zela. If we apply that here to our sugya, then we're going to come to the conclusion that even if the gazlan had no intention of eating it himself, but rather to feed it to someone else, which is almanas lahazik, nevertheless he's chayav as a gazlan. And if that be the case, we're back to square one. We don't understand, according to the Balamor, how could the ochel be chayav? After all, according to the Balamor, the ochel is not chayav because it's already stolen. Once it's already stolen by Shimon in this case, you can't add another chiyuv gzela. And the truth of the matter is that maybe that's what Rashi means over here when Rashi says, "Iboy leila dure," about 15 lines up before the end of the page. Rashi says, "Vechilo ahadre, by he shaita iu mazikle." It could be that when Rashi says iu mazikle, we'll have to discuss this under a separate cover, maybe in about 10 minutes, but Rashi means to say there is no chiyuv gzela here. because we already have a gazlan. Or alternatively, because in order to be a gazlan, you have to take it for yourself. And here all you're doing is being mazik. So again, I'm opening the possibility that Rashi holds that the ochel is not chayiv as a gazlan, but rather as a mazik. So again, just to summarize, we're still deeply in trouble here. If we assume that kavanas gzela would mean almanas lahazik, then why is it that the gazlan is not chayev over here? Meaning Shimon who took the chalev or took the truma, even if his intention was not for himself but simply to feed it to someone else, we'll call him Reuven, that itself should be enough to make him chayev as a gazlan. And if we go to Baal HaMor, there's only one person who can be chayev as a gazlan. We're offering a possible answer that maybe there's only one gazlan, but there's a gazlan and a mazik. Right. That maybe the ochel's chayv b'toras mazik.
Mm-hmm. That's what Rashi says.
And Rashi used the word mazik. Yeah, right. We're going to assume that the Ritva has a different gear than Rashi. He understood that the
right Messiah the mehanir is meor.
That's oh, okay. We'll get to that also. That's also a kind of a chayv mazik, a slightly different category.
Sorry.
So what we have now, Rabosai, is the following. We need a pshat here, because now let's add to the equation the fact that Rashi says, again the same Rashi, boile la dure, risho lav midi ovid at the end of that Rashi, velonis chayev lekoin klum. That means that Shimon, who actually picked up the truma, he's not chayev. But why isn't he chayev? I mean, he's the one who stole it. So one possible answer, but then we're going to be in trouble with Rav Chaim, is that his kinyan was not a kinyan. Because he had no intention to take it for himself, he was only taking it for his buddy, and he was going to, shove it down his buddy's throat. But again, that's against Reb Chaim, because Reb Chaim holds that there is a kinyan gzela, even in the case of almanas lahazik. And Reb Chaim quoted two sugyas to support that conclusion. Oh, so now we have another possible approach, and that you'll see on page Kuf Lamed Ches, the paragraph on the left column that says Ubederech Nosefes, top left. You have that?
Kuf Lamed Ches.
Ches. Kuf Lamed Ches. He says the Suyan Mairi Kigon Shatochev Savur Shehu Shalom. This is the second approach of the Imre Moshe.
Savur
Shehu Shalom. That Shiva thought it was his own. Shiva thought it belonged to Shiva. The Lo Nasa Gazlan. In other words, even if I hold that you can have a Kenyan Gzela, even if he has no intention of enjoying the benefit of it, and he's going to just destroy it, but he has to at least know that he's stealing it. If he's not aware of the fact that he's stealing it, that's not a Kenyan. You could never have a Kenyan on your own object. So if you mistakenly think that this is yours, then there's no kinyan, and you're not chayav for kinyan gzela. That's what Rashi means when he says the lav midi odif, that the Rishon, we called him Shimon, lav midi odif. What do you mean lav midi odif? He's the one who stole it. So the Imre Moshe suggests that he was mistakenly under the misimpression that it was his. And that, Herb, is where we introduce the concept of Hana, that if he benefit from it, he has to pay a fee. Again, not the full value of the object. That's called Tmei Basar Bezol, which was all to do. And the reason why he's not chayv as a gazlan to pay the entire value, the market value of the truma or of the chalev, is because he was unaware of the fact that it belonged to someone else. He thought mistakenly it belonged to him. This was his supply of chalev, his supply of tvua, and if we had no clue that he was stealing. So if that be the case, then we could say the following, that we establish according to the Baal HaMor that once the first guy, we call him Shimon, is the gazlan, then Reuven, who ate the chalev, ate the truma, could not possibly be a gazlan. Well, we've solved that problem, because Shimon is not a gazlan. Why isn't Shimon a gazlan? He's not aware of the fact that it's not his. He fools himself to thinking that it's his. So therefore, he's not a gazlan. If he's not a gazlan, then the ochel can become a gazlan. The question is, where is the gzela as far as eating it is concerned, when it was shoved down his throat. And we're going to have to assume, but then we have to analyze this assumption, that even though it was shoved down his throat, he didn't have to swallow it. He could have easily have regurgitated it. And therefore, when he swallows it, that becomes a Maisa Gzela. Or alternatively, it's a Maisa Mazik if we take Rashi literally. The reason why I'm hesitating to take Rashi literally is because, as we'll soon see, the Ritva is a different text than Rashi. And instead of the word Mazik, he has the word Gazlan. So we have to always be open to that possibility. So again, let's just get the cheshbon. A lot of this is mathematics here. According to the Baal Amar, if you would assume that Shimon the Rishon is chayv as a gazlan, then the ochel would not be chayv. And a classic case that fits that profile would be Tachav lo beis habliya. So how could our Gemara say that the ochel is chayv? Rashi comes to answer that question by saying that the Rishon lo asav lo klum, lo lav mi the oven. So we're asking, why lav mi the oven? If you're going to tell me it's because he didn't want to benefit from him for himself, he wanted it l'tzara chaver but not l'tzara atzmo, and therefore that's not a kinyan gzela, then we're in trouble with Reb Chaim. Because Reb Chaim holds that if you steal it in a way that you're not returning it, that itself is enough to qualify as kinyanic gzela. The other possibility is to say that the reason why we neutralize the position of Shimon Shimon the Gazlan, the first guy, the Rishon. Shimon is the Rishon now, is because he didn't know that it wasn't his. I should say
he thought it was.
He fooled himself. He thought it was his.
And it's completely clear that they mean he thought it was his, as opposed to he thought it was the other guy's that he's going to feed it to.
I would say, Yosef, even in that case, it would be all the same. In other words, he's not trying to steal anything, and therefore he didn't make a kinyan on it. I mean, he's helping Reuven get back, which is his. You know, Reuven has, in the understanding of Shimon, Reuven has a piece of truma here on the table. It's his truma. I'm gonna feed it to him. You know, he can't move his arms. Let's say, mm-hmm. So I'm gonna feed it to him. Or, as he says, Savashu Shalo, he thinks it's his, which is like the case of Parasha Ula, where the Yarshim think it's their para, they inherited from the father. Little did he know that the father had taken it as a rental, and it wasn't. So, in such a case, you don't pay as a gazim. Even though they took the cow and they shechted it, and they had a barbecue, but that's not gazela, because they were of the impression that they were shechting their own cow. So again, we have two different ways of understanding why Shimon is out of the picture and he's neutralized vis-a-vis Gzela. Either because he wasn't taking it for himself, or more likely because he thought it belonged to him. He was mistaken about that. Okay. Now, we said that Rashi says that the Ochel is Chayav as a Mazik. Azoi Shteit, I mean, if we take the text of Rashi as we have, however, the Achronim point to a Ritva. And this you'll see on page Kuf Lamed Tes. And it's Os Kuf Chav Ches. And if you fast forward for a moment, five lines down into that paragraph, you'll see it says the Ritva. Ritva has a different, he calls it Ha Taka, meaning a different text. He copies it over in a different way. And it says, "Kevin de lo ahadri nasal of gazlan lialta," not the way we have it, nasal of mazik, but rather nasal of gazlan. However, many achronim are loyal to the text that we have in Rashi, and that means that he's a mazik, and that's why he's chay. So, before we read the sheet of Gubetzes in the next paragraph on the Kuflam and Tess, let's just go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. How could it be that the ochel is chayv if Shimon shoves it down his throat? Hechidon. So let me fast forward to the easy part. Idelo matzila dura. If Shimon shoved it mamish down the throat of Reuven in such a way that Reuven cannot possibly regurgitate it. That's how far down it is. It's a maichayev. But why do you need kimlev the rabbinate to knock off a chiv that doesn't exist? You know, Shimon shoved it down Reuven's throat in a way that Reuven cannot regurgitate it. That's it. Shimon is the gazel, not Reuven. How can you tell me that Reuven would be chayev tashlum exel if not for the fact that he's chayev frachilus truma or frachilus chayev? But what's the first tzad in the Gemara? E de matzi ladura. If Shimon only placed it halfway down his throat, Reuven's throat, in such a way that Reuven could cough it up, is nahad there. Let Reuven cough it up. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't cough it up, he's chayev. Unless it coincides with a chiyuv misa, and then we apply the principle of kimlev the rabbinin. But if we isolate, if we keep kimlev the rabbinin for the time being on the back burners, then Erechinami, he would be chayev. And why is he chayev? Because Matzi Ladure. Now, Rav Osa, what does that sound like to you, Matzi Ladure? Do you hear a chiddush here? Matzi Ladure. He could have regurgitated it. Mm-hmm. What did he do?
He ate it.
He didn't regurgitate. Did he swallow it? It doesn't say anything more that he swallowed.
Yeah, but matzi doesn't mean that what actually happened. Matzi means what could possibly happen.
Correct. So the two ways, Yosef, of interpreting this Gemara. One way is to interpret like you said. He could have regurgitated it, and instead what? A, he swallowed it, or B, he's chayev already at that moment. He made a decision that he's not regurgitating. Now, this could depend upon the two ways of reading Rashi. Can you analyze that for me? I'm sort of leading you down a path, and I'm trying to see if I succeed. Right? We have two ways of learning Rashi: either Mazik or Gazlan. Which of the two would require that he swallow it in order to be chayav? You're not with me on this.
I would say
Mazik. Mazik, for sure. Mazik. Because what's Mazik? Mazik means I destroy the object. If I can still cough it up, you know, it's a dumb Shiva Olam. It's not lost to you. The fact that he's made it a mental decision that he's not going to cough it up, that doesn't make him into a Mazik, because Mazik depends upon the object itself. The object is still alive and well.
Right.
So if we're going to learn Rashi literally, that he's a Mazik, then Iboy Ladure means he went ahead and he swallowed. He went that extra, you know, the last yard of the, you know, not just 9 yards, but 10 yards.
If you say he's a gazlan.
Oh, but if you say he's a gazlan, then it could be that once he made a decision that he wants it for himself, he hasn't yet swallowed it. Then once he makes that decision, that itself is a kinyan gzeila. Again, this might depend upon whether. Do you remember we mentioned last week that there's going to be a gigantic machlokes with a piv, where the piv is derech kinyan or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can a person's mouth be a chatzer and so forth and so on? But let's assume for argument's sake that a person can make a kinyan on food that's in his mouth the moment he decides that he's not coughing it up. He's taking it for himself. Again, he's not a mazik, but he might be chayv b'toras gazla. And this is fascinating, because if you're going to say the way the Ritva has Rashi, that we're talking about a gazlan, you can answer a very basic question in this sugya. Mamash a gigantic sugya, a gigantic hole, I would call it, in the sugya, a gaping hole. The Gemara is going to tell us now that there's no kimlev d'rabbinin. How do I know this? Because when the Gemara says imotzi ladure, as a question, you know, you read it with an inflection of a question, you're coming up with a case of kimlev d'rabbinin where simultaneously he's chayav tvei mamon and he's chayav misa. The Gemara says, nay, he's already chayav at an earlier stage. Now, maybe it'll be clearer if I go with the mazik pshat. If I go with the mazik pshat, then at what point is he chayav as a mazik?
When
the thing is gone, it means when he did that voluntary action of swallowing it. So what's the Gemara's problem? Again, the Gemara ends with a question mark here. There's no kimlev d'rabbi. Why is there any kimlev d'rabbi? At what moment is he chayev for truma or for chaylev? When he swallows it, what's that called in the Gemara's language? Swallowing it, blia, right?
Blia.
The moment of blia. Well, that's exactly the moment that he's chayev as a mazik. If you take Rashi literally here, the text as we have it, not the Ritva's text, and Rashi means he's chayev as a mazik when he swallows it, not when he made a decision, I am going to swallow it, then you're in deep trouble. And you're going to have to really find a way of wiggling your way out of this, because if he's chayev as a mazik, then at that very moment that he swallows it and takes it out of the world, he's chayev for chaylev. He's chayev for truma. What do you say, Yosef?
Once you open the door for wondering, who does this belong to? And we said that maybe the person who picks it up thinks that it's his. Then you can also say that maybe the ochel thinks that it belongs to the first guy that's putting it in his mouth.
So then the chalal you can't move in this sugya. Again, we're sort of straitjacketed a little bit in this sugya. Why? Because the Gemara is trying to come up with a case where a person steals someone's truma, someone's chalav, and he's chayav both misa and hashlumen. We just finished saying that Shimon the Tochev is not chayav because he mistakenly thinks it's him. He thinks it's his stuff. Now, if you can apply a similar logic to Reuven, then for sure Reuven can't be chayav. Yeah. So in other words, we have to keep our goals in mind over here. Our goal is to establish a chiyuv on Reuven the Ochel. That's what we have to do. Otherwise, we're in trouble because we have a statement of who is it, Rava, if I'm not mistaken, right? Rava, who said, "Ika beinayu zar shachol truma." Okay, it's not necessarily fair to assume it's Rava, but let's take the case of Rav Chisda in the case of truma, right? So we're talking about a case where he's chayv for tashlume truma.
Yes.
And now we're analyzing, well, what about kibbutz the rabbi then? And how do we get it to be ba'idna? But if you're telling me that Reuven mistakenly thinks that it belongs to Shimon and he's just accepting a gift, then the whole concept of Shimon being chayv is out the window. I'm sorry, if Reuven being chayv is out the window. Reuven is the ochel. So we have to assume that in order to accomplish our goal, right, the Gemara's goal is to get here a chiyuv tashlume mamon, either for truma to the kohen or on the chalev to the owner of the chalev. We need to assume that Reuven who eats the chalev or the truma is chayv for that achila. Whether he's chayv towards Gazlan or towards Matzik, we can argue that out, but he's definitely chayv. He's doing a very, very bad thing. And on two scores, he's doing a bad thing because, you know, Bidin Shamayim is Chayv Misa, and he's doing a bad thing because he's stealing someone's Truma or someone's Chela. The Chela we said is Mutar Banah. So again, Rabbi, I just want to make this last point clear because I think it's a very critical point in this Sugya. We have two Girsos in Rashi. One Girsan Rashi has it that Reuven the Ochel is chayv as a mazik. The other Girsan the Ritva has that Reuven is chayv as a gazlan. What would be the advantage of the Ritva gazlan over our text of mazik? But again, you have to add a question mark in the Gemara. If you don't have the question mark, we're in trouble. The Gemara says, what that means is that he's already chayev for mamon way before he's chayev misa, and this would not satisfy our goal, our agenda to get simultaneity. Do you have that? I mean, that's just poshut shat in the Gemara. That doesn't require rishonim. I don't need the Rei Moshe for this. That does state in the Gemara that iboil eladure matzil adure is nahader. And the moment he's not complying with the law, but rather he makes the decision that he's going to swallow it, at that moment, he incurs a chiyuv mamon. But the chiyuv misa is going to come later on when he swallows it. But wait a second. If Rashi is right, then what do you mean there's a chiyuv mamon at the time that he decides that he's not going to cough it up? He hasn't been mazikin yet. He'll only be mazikin at the moment that he swallows it. Well, at that moment, he's chayv misa for truma, for chaylev. So what's the Gemara's problem? Why does the Gemara say Iboy Mahadur Adure, and therefore he's chayv already before he incurs the Chiyuv Misa, and therefore we haven't lived up to the requirements of Rav Chisda that we need Be'idna, and there's no Kimli Ramine. What do you mean there's no Kimli Ramine? He's chayv as a mazik. He's chayv as a mazik the moment he swallows it. Well, at that moment he's chayv for Truma or for Chela. But if you hold like the Ritva's Girsan Rashi, that the Ochel is chayv as a gazlon, which means through Kinyonim, a gazlon is chayv even if the object is alive and well. And why is he chayv? Because he made a Kinyon Gzela. What's a Kinyon Gzela? It's a decision not to return an object. I'm holding on to this object in a place that I'm not going to let. If you dare take it back, I'm going to beat you up. So the man has a piece of someone's chayv or truma in his mouth. It's at a point in the Beis HaBliyah where it's about to go down. He hasn't swallowed it yet. He could cough it up. And he made a decision. He doesn't want to cough it up.
What's the Kenyan?
Oh, I would add one word here, Herb, if you don't mind. What's the Maisa Kenyan?
Right.
Bishlam, if you all like Rashi, and we're talking about Mazik, so he did an action. He voluntarily swallowed it. But if you're holding like the Ritva, that he's a gazan even before he swallows it, is there such an entity as Gzela without a Maisa Gzela? And that's going to be a fascinating sugi that we want to cover today. Can you be a Gazlan without a Maisa Gzela? Simply because you decided that you're not going to return it to the Nigzal, to its rightful home.
I'm a friend who can answer that.
What do you mean, because he stole something or what? Or he's a Talmud Chacham? I'm not sure what you mean.
They go to prison and ask him.
Huh?
You mentioned something before that there's a Kenyan in his mouth and he decides to keep it.
Yeah,
I thought I heard you say something.
Right. So that would be the method of Kenyan, because where's the Akbar? Just because he decided he's not going to cough it up, so they want to suggest that maybe Piv is a Kenyan there of Piv. So that you'll see on Kuf Lamed Tes in the second paragraph that says Mazel Shona Shita Mikubetzis. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes is trying to analyze Rashi. Tosis, not here, but later on, in the Sugya Daf Kuf, of Lamed Aleph, there's a Sugya, remember Chetz? Remember the Sugya where he shoots the arrow and he rips somebody else's clothing? So on that Sugya, Tosis raises the following question. How could Reuven, the Nitchav, right, who swallows it, how could he be chayv as a gazlan? Where's the Kenyan Akbar? Every gzela requires a Kenyan. Where's the Akbar? You know, we're not ready for Mazik yet, right? We're now operating within the framework of gzela. So I just want to get the shock of the tarry here. Oh, Satosis suggests that. Just one second. Satosis suggests that if you're going to argue that there is a kind of hagbah here, and that's why he's chayv mishum gzela. He says the following: Ma shayach hagbah b'darshu tafus, meaning hagbah means when you lift something, just holding on to something, you know, as if preventing someone from ripping it out of your hands. That's not considered hagbah. Now, in this case, it was Shimon who picked it up.
Right.
And for whatever reason, he's not chayav, let's say, according to Rashi, right? Lav mila, lav midi, and he's the one who did the hagbah. Now he shoves it down Reuven's throat. So again, Reuven has a tofus biyado, or in this case, tofus bepiv, and he's not letting anyone go near it, so to speak. That's not called a hagbah. Hagbah means to lift it up. So at this point, the Shita Mekubetzes says, goes back to the text of Rashi. He says, well, read it carefully. Rashi doesn't say that the ochel is chayv mishum gzela. Rashi says that the ochel is chayv mishum, and now it takes Rashi mishum mazik. He says the following: for sure, this would not be a kinyan gzela. Why? This is the fourth line in the paragraph. He says, "Dohavadai ein derech knia b'peh," which means, in my understanding, again, you could argue with me, but I think what he means is that a peh is not a chotzer. A chotzer is a place that's accessible and has walls around it. You know, it's got dalet al dalet. A mouth is not considered a chotzer. You don't normally kone something through your mouth. So when the Gemara means to say iboila dure nahader, Rashi already answers this question, meaning that why is the ochel chayev? He's not chayev din gzela because ain derek kniya bepeh. Lomi din kniya parchinon. V'loma dechilo ahadre kanya befumen. The Gemara never meant to say that he's a gazlan. And he was kona the ochel by virtue of the fact that he's not willing to cough it up. That would not constitute a kinyan, because where's the kinyan? Kinyan requires a chotzer, requires a kinyan yad, something or other. Where's the kinyan? Ella. Rashi answers this question and he says, "Me did mazikud daisidin Allah." The question is whether the ochel is considered a mazik. And then he writes the following: "Dibepiv memayis."
Yeah, but it's not Rashi.
That we don't have in Rashi. So the Shita Mekubetzis is adding a whole new element into the equation here,
it's against what Rashi says. Rashi says specifically the mehanias meos, that when it goes into the intestines, it goes into the whatever, then it has the anor.
Wait a second, Herb. We're talking about boy la dure. Which Rashi are you referring to? Lo motzi la dure. No. Which is? Wait. Let's just make sure we get the second.
Just a shetachu l'chavero.
Oh, okay. So that's one line before the Gemara breaks it down into two possibilities, right? So if it's tachav lo chavero, so Rashi is saying that in tachav lo chavero, he would be chayev only tmei hanoh, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But now the Gemara breaks it down into two possibilities. The Gemara says that it's either it's iboy la dure or it's the lo matzi la dure. So Rashi says that if it's iboy la dure, then he becomes a mazik. So Rashi means to say that when he swallows it, he makes it impossible for the owner to get access to the object. It's completely consumed, completely out of the orbit of the earth, and he's a mazik. At this point, Rashi's not introducing Dmei HaNor, because Rashi holds if he's a mazik, he has to pay the full price. Now, there's a difference between a mazik and Dmei HaNor. The Dmei HaNor only pays part of the price, he pays a fraction. So that's what I'm saying, that at this point, Rashi is saying that if he swallows it, he's chayv as a mazik. He's not chayv dmei hanor.
Even if he doesn't swallow it.
That far I wouldn't go.
Rashi says.
You mean because Rashi says ilo even before he swallows it?
Yes. I'm reading Rashi.
So again, that would fit into the Ritva's Girsa, but if you're talking about, unless you're willing to add this Shita Mekubetzis that's Memayisle.
So you're going to say that.
But again, I'm hard pressed to add a new element into Rashi Memayisle.
So you're going to say that if it is Mahader, then the Piv is a Kaina, for whatever reason you're going to say. If it's not Mahader, then the Vemayim is the kinyan.
Well, not the kinyan, it's the mazik.
Whatever.
The mazik. You understand what I'm saying?
The hezi starts in his mouth. So that's if he's
so again, mazik. if we assume that, if we take Rashi as we have it, that he's a mazik,
right,
then the Shita Mekubetzis is saying that he's a mazik. Just one second. And he's not konami ding zela because ain't there kinyan bepeh.
Fine.
So he's chayev to pay the full price of the chelev or the truma, the full market price, right? As a mazik. So now the question becomes, well, if he's chayiv as a mazik, means he took it out of the orbit of the earth, that's not going to happen until he swallows it. Rashi doesn't mention a word about swallowing.
I'm asking specifically in regard to a kinyan. The Fi Rashi, the Girsan Rashi, let's forget about the Ritva and the Shiva.
Right. So there is no kinyan.
Okay.
So he's saying the Shiva Mubetsa says there's no kinyan because ain't there a kinyan bepet.
But if it's Mahader, where's the kinyan?
What do you mean if it's Mahader? Motsi Ladur or Yashi?
Iboy Ladur, Iboy Ladur.
Right. Iboy Ladur.
So the kinyan is.
No kinyan. Rashi doesn't mention a word about kinyan.
I know Rashi doesn't.
And the Shita knows that very well. So Tosis thinks that maybe there could be a kinyan pet. So the Shita says, no, ain't there a kinyan pet? It's not a chotzer, it's not dos, it's not yens, it's not a. It doesn't
so
qualify
as kinyan is only when he goes to the main line.
No, no. Rashi's saying he's high for a different reason. The Torah is kinyanim and a gazan, he wouldn't be high. If not for a different passion of the Torah,
he's high as a mazik.
But now we have a problem because if Rashi's holding this chayv as a mazik, then at what moment in time was he mazik in? So if you leave out Memaisle,
right,
which we'll get
right,
to in a second, and Rashi doesn't breathe a word about Memaisle, then Lechora, he can only become a mazik when he swallows it.
Right.
And he makes it inaccessible. He takes it out of, I call it, the orbit of the earth.
Right.
Well, at that point, he's Chayav Misa. So what's the Gemara's issue over here? So the Shita Gubetzis wants to say something pretty revolutionary. Again, the question is whether you're willing to push this into Rashi. It's a real push. And he says the following. Pirush lepirusho. Right? So again, let me read the Hodak Shili Ali Motzi Laduri Nahade Kri Tirtzu Barashi Beloshev Bilshono Demehi Shaita Iu Mazikle. What do you mean Iu Mazikle? If he Iu Mazikle, that's only going to be Shaykh when he's Ochel, when he swallows it, and at that point he's Chayav Misa. Oh, so he says, Pirush lepirusho. Lami din kniya parchina. Okay, so he's medayik out to you. Rashi doesn't mention a word about gzela. V'lomar dechilo ahatri kanye befume, because we're holding now that ain't there kinyi bepeh. Elam din mazik udaisin in law. Okay, but what din mazik? L'chor it's after bliya. And then you have kimle in rabbi. He says, nay. Dibepiv memayis. V'lochazi obaylan. V'lochi chayv mi din mazik. You see where he injects a whole new factor into the equation here, namely Mamayas. I don't know. This is really bothering me. And truth be told, the Shita Mekubetz himself is not happy with this. Because the concept of Mamayas, Le Rabbo say, only works with regard to what?
Truma.
Truma. Right, it's not going to help you with Caleb. With Caleb. Because Caleb, you know, you want to use it as oil or whatever. Still who good. Cares? We're not eating Caleb anyway. Nobody eats Caleb. That's it. Rabbo said we're going to take a unanimous vote here. Nobody eats Caleb. Right? That's a no. So what do you do with Caleb? Caleb is mutabana. Achleis, you use it here, you use it there, you fry your eggs. I don't know what you do with it. But there's no din of Mamai, there's no mitzias of Mamai's left. So the Shita Mekubetz himself is aware of the that he's treading on very thin water over here. You know what I'm saying? He's really on a very thin piece of ice, and he could fall in any minute. First of all, Rashi doesn't say a word about Mamaisle. Secondly, Mamaisle would only be relevant to Truma, wouldn't help us for Caleb. And thirdly, why is that Chiv Mazik Chal the moment he decides that he's not going to cough it up? He didn't put it into that situation, into that position, in that location. It was Shimon who put it there in the Beis Ablia. All right, Motzi Ladura, he can cough it up. Does that make him into a mazik? What would you say about that, Rabosa? I don't know. Intuitively, I have an answer, but I want to know your answer. What I say doesn't count. But what you say is what counts. Would you say that if Shimon puts an object into Ruvain's mouth in such a way that Ruvain does nothing, that Ruvain becomes a mazik? Even if I grant you Mamayisle, but what did he do?
Yeah, very simple. I mean, if you really want to split halacha, you can say Adamud Lailun, Baby Mesuvain Shogi, so Be'aniyaz Meov, when his intestines eat the thing, That's the chiyuv of,
right,
of Hezek.
But Rashi now is learning me the mazik, which means you pay not for the hanoah. Again, the hanoah is dmei bos of the soul. That's like,
right,
2/3 of the price.
Right.
If he's a mazik, he pays 100% of the price.
But other mashiach pays 100%.
So he's out of a mazik. So if he's out of a mazik, he has to pay 100%.
Right.
So why is he paying? Because it's memayisle? Because somehow this truma, the truma is unedible. So why is the truma unedible? Is it because Shimon put it into my throat, or because I swallowed it? Or because I decided not to cough it up? And it's interesting to say that you're chayv for as a mazik because it's inedible because you decided not to cough it up. Maybe it means he's salivating. I don't know exactly what's going on over here. But the shita is not... Now, Rabosai, the plot grows thicker here. There's another reason why this whole sugya makes no sense, and that's because of the Gemara of Litzorach. Let's just very quickly go over this Gemara. Right, the Gemara says that if your avera starts with a certain action, then even if you're not chayiv until you do another action, we still apply kimlei d'rabbi, because the first action was necessary in order to set up the avera. So, for example, the Gemara says unless you pick up the chetz and you shoot it out, you're not going to be chayv when the chetz lands 4 hours later in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if he rips his friend's garment, we're going to apply the principle of kimlei d'rabbi, and he doesn't pay damages. So, in this paragraph Kuf Chav Tes, he asks, well, what about the fact that he swallowed it? Right. So already at the point that he begins to swallow it, he started his avera. It may take a few seconds until it goes down his belly, which is called anos me'ayim, until he's actually chayav misa. But it's a letzara situation. And the Shita Yeshana, in the name of the Ra'ok, says that it depends on the two lashonas of the Gemara. How does it depend upon the two lashonas of the Gemara? The two lashonas are the following. Either because he must have that introductory preliminary action, or because he can't stop it and reverse it back in the middle. Well, both of those apply in the case of where he swallows it and he decides he's not coughing it up. Number one, in order to be chayv for truma or for chelev, he must swallow it, and he's got to swallow it, you know. And number two, it's irretractable because again he took it from the position of low matziladure of matziladure to low matziladure. Once he crosses that threshold, it's impossible for him to get it back. It's like the chetz, which he can't get the chetz back after he shoots.
So we're assuming some sort of volition between the time that he could have brought it back up and the time that he didn't bring it back up.
I even want to go a step further than that, Yosef. I think he's assuming that it's not just the decision that he made that he's not going to cough it up. He actually begins to swallow it. He hasn't swallowed it completely. It's not down in his me'ayim, but he swallowed it to cross that threshold between matzadur and low matzadur. And the question is, do we apply kimlei d'rabbinei on that very action? So you may say, well, the Gemara says no. Why? Because he hasn't yet gotten it down to his belly. But what about the sugya of litzara? And the sugi litzorech, mimanavshach, no matter which of the two lashonas you take, this is a litzorech. This is exactly analogous to the case of zarak chetz. Number one, because it's a necessary preliminary state, and number two, it's irreversible, irretractable. So in order to answer this, you turn to page Kuf Mem, and he comes up with a whole new idea over here.
Who's he?
This is the Imre Moshe, I think. Number Vav, yeah, the Imre Moshe. And he says the following, that if you could put something into your belly, and it's Macholas Asuris, you'd be Chayav. You hear this, Rabosai? Mm-hmm. If you could put something directly into your Me'ayim, without going through any sort of Achila or Bliya or anything, you're Chayav. Let's see that inside. Where is it? Just 1 second. So we're three lines down from the top of Kuf Mem. Mm-hmm. He writes the following: Im tochav lo acher birtsono. This answers your question a little bit, Yosef, right? Everything is delivered. Right, Hanitchav. But where did he put it? Litoch beis ablia. B'makom de lo motzi ladura.
Oh.
Gam ken chayv misa.
Who? The ochel.
The ochel is chayv misa. Why? De ablia eino me etzem ha'iser. Now let me stop here for a minute. You put something into his beis ablia, let's say into his esophagus, right? Again, this might depend upon Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Remember that Anos Me'ayim, Anos Grono. But let's just try to focus on what we have to focus on, because otherwise, you know, all the bottles of beer are going to fall out of our head at one time. So what he's saying is that there's something called a Maisa Avera, but it's not the Etzem HaIsur. I would, again, if it were up to me, I would change one word here. I would say Me Etzem HaChiyuv. Okay, he calls it Etzem HaIsur. This reminds me of something I heard from the Rav many, many times in mitzvahs, that there's a Maisa Mitzvah and there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah. So, for example, the Rav would say that on Yontif you eat a steak. Ain simcha l'basar v'yayin, but that's not a kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah is not eating the steak. You can chew and chew and chew, but if you're in a lousy mood, that's not v'samachta v'chagecha. The eating the meat is a means to an end, you know, to try to get you into a state of simcha. And the Rav said in the opposite end in Avelus, Rachman al-Tzad, he said the same thing is, if you don't put on shoes and if you don't wash your body, that's meant to bring you into the state of Avelus. If you take the Rav's Torah and you flip it around to Averus, it could be that there's a Mais Aver and then there's a Chiyuv. You know, we would always say that the Chiyuv is inherent in the Mais Aver, but he's saying no. That maybe swallowing something is just a Mais Aver, but the Chiyuv is that when it goes into your Beis Ablia. Now, how would that help us in our sugya? It would undermine the principle of the application of the principle of Litzorech, because the principle of Litzorech in its paradigm case is Zorek Chetz, and the Gemara says Ein Akira, Ein Hanoch Below Akira. That means that the Akira itself is part of the Chiyuv. It's not just the Maisa Avira. Masha Enkin in the case of Blia, swallowing it until it gets into your Beis Ablia, that's only a Mais Aver, but that's not the Chiyuv. And therefore we don't apply the principle of Kim Leib L'Rami. There's no Litzorach here. Pretty wild.
This is a sidebar.
Yeah.
The Rav's idea about Kim
Mais and Kim, yeah.
And Mais. Is kiyum kavana?
Yeah, kiyum according to the Rav very often is belev.
Is the kavana?
It's some sort of emotional state of being. Mm-hmm. That's why the Rav used to always ask the kasha. The Gemara wants to know, in a case where he buries his dead, Rachmanotzah, before yontif. So the Gemara wants to know: is he chayv in avelus? Is he chayv in yontif? Or he buries his dead on yontif? And the Gemara goes on and says, well, avelus is only an essay v'yachid. It's Gemara might cut, whereas Yontif, Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah derabim. So the Rav used to always ask the kasha, well, where's the steer between the two? An Avil is allowed to drink wine, an Avil is allowed to eat meat. In fact, I don't know if you know, the Yemenites have a whole series of wine. You know, on the first night of Avil, they drink one cup of wine, and it keeps going up and up until they drink seven cups of wine. As opposed to Ananinus. Ananinus is something different. But in Avil, man, the Sudas Avra itself is a fleshik of meal. There's no Isur on an Ovil to drink wine. There are 11 Isuri Avelis, but drinking wine is not one of them. So what does Gemara mean here? Let him profit both Avelis and Simcha. On Yontif, it doesn't say he can't wear sneakers, if you know what I mean. So he's not wearing his shoes. We stayed in the hill because Yontif, you have to wear shoes. So he won't take a bath. So what? He can fulfill all 11 Isurim to the T without violating Yontif. Not only that, he can fulfill Yontif without violating Avelis, because he's gonna eat all the steak that he can and drink all the wine that he can. Zokta Rav, name, you're missing the point of the sugya. The stira between Avelis and Yontif is not in a Maisa. You can reconcile that. An Avel's allowed to drink wine, he's allowed to eat meat. The stira is in the Kiyama Mitzvah. The Kiyama Mitzvah of Simcha and the Kiyama Mitzvah of Avelis are mutually exclusive. Einam Darim B'Kfifa Achas. But this distinction between a Maisa Mitzvah and a Kiyama Mitzvah is very relevant to our chiddush of the Imre Moshe. Again, he's saying that to swallow something in Macholos Asuris is a Maisa Avera, but that's not the chiyuv. The chiyuv is having it in your belly. Again, I don't know about intravenous feeding, but you know, you might want to know, again, theoretically, I have an answer to that, it's maybe Shalom Kadaka, but leave that out. In a pure conceptual world, it could be that if you would inject, again, everything was done deliberately, inject chelev or truma into your belly, you'd be chai for such a thing. Because bli is only a maisa avera. If you can circumvent the maisa avera and achieve your goal, or the avera itself of having the chelev in your belly, you'd be chai. That's a wild idea. I mean, I'm fascinated by this because I always like a derech halimud here, and I never, I was in the Rav Shiva for 5 years, but I never heard him turn it around. When we talk about Isurim, that there's a Maisa Aver and a Chiyuv. That I never heard, so that I was very excited about this because I thought it was a new twist. Okay, now the question is the machlokus between the Ri and the Ritzbah. That's what we have here on the agenda. Let me just see how much time we have. We have about 25 minutes. I'm wondering if we should, because this goes on and on. Just give me a minute to make a quick calculation. With your rishus, I'm going to leave this, postpone this for tomorrow. I have another sugya that I'd like to learn with you, because John and I and a couple of other fellows are learning ksubis in the morning. And we got to a very interesting sugya. So if you could turn to page Lamed Ches in your Gemara, which is really just turning 8 pages. Oh, well, no, it's an art scroll, it's 8 times 3.
400.
Right. 6,000. By the way, when you said 6,000, I got excited. I thought you were wishing me a mazel tov. Because on my birthday, which was Friday, I reached 6,000 shirim on Wayu Torah, so I'm very excited. It's like a milestone.
King Yerbu.
Yeah, thanks.
Lamed Ches Amud Aleph or Bet?
Lamed Ches Amud Aleph.
Shishim Ribui.
Shishim, right. Multiply 6,000 by 100, I'll get Shishim Ribui.
And you multiply all of those shirim by all the talmidim. Now you're talking big numbers.
You may get the Shishim Ribui, right? Okay, so on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, let me just show you where it is. It's going to be Omer Abaye. Just 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry. Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Omer Abaye.
One second, I got to turn over 7 pages.
Right. Yeah. So we're about, let's see, 5 lines up from the
on the bottom.
6, let's see, 1, 2, 3. 6 lines up from the end of the Omer Abaye. Now we had long discussions about Knas, and we established the following conditions. Number one, she has to be a Nara. Number two, she has to be a Besula. And now Abaye wants to add another condition. That at the time of the Hamada Bedin, let's say the onus took place on Sunday, the court case came to the attention of the Beis Din on Thursday. Between Sunday and Thursday, tragically, she died. Omer Abaye Baal Leha Umesa. She died before what's called Hamada Bedin. Potter. There's no Knas. Shenemar. Shenemar v'nasan etc. etc. la vi anara v'lo la vi Mesa.
The bottom one.
Yeah. He knows because he learned this with me earlier this morning.
Oh, Jen, sorry.
Sorry.
Now, the Gemara is about to tell us that Abai is a big chiddush. Because if not for Abaye, we would have applied a principle called Misa Osa Osa Bagrus. Let me explain to you what that means. Misa Osa Bagrus. So for that, you'll have to turn to Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. And you're looking for a Gemara, which is about, let's see, about six lines before the Mishnah, maybe a little bit more. The Gemara quotes Marbar of Ash. Yes, a little bit more. It's about, I would say, 12 lines before the Mishnah. Maravashi Boila, he has a suffix. Misa Osa Bagrus or Ein Osa Bagrus. When she dies, does that take her out of the reshus of her father? Because she's not alive anymore. And that's the same as Misa Osa Bagrus. In other words, even though she died before her 12 and a half birthday, so she's still a Nara at the time of her death, but nevertheless, just like in Bagrus, Bagrus takes her out of the reshus of her father, so too Misa takes her out of the reshus of the father, because what reshus, what control can he have? What, you know, what mammon can he have? He can't marry her off, he can't collect her maisa yadayim, she's gone. Oh, what should we say? Ein Misa Osa Bagrus. That Misa, when she dies, that doesn't make her into a bogeres to take her out of the reshus of the father. She's still in the reshus of the father. And the Gemara ends with a teku. So the impression you get is the following. That when a Nara has this, is victimized in this way, and the Hamadah B'din takes place while she's a Nara, then the father collects the Knas. If the Hamadah B'din is postponed for whatever reason until after she becomes a Bogeres, then the father's out of the picture. What about if she dies before she becomes a Bogeres? So she's still a Nara. At the moment of her death, there should have been Knas. But the problem is that if we hold that Misa Osa Bagrus, then for all intents and purposes, she's a Bogeres. Normally a Bogeres would collect her own Knas, but in this case she's dead, so she can't sue anybody for Knas. The father's out of the picture because we're holding Misa Osa Bagrus. Now let's compare that to Abaye that we started with. Abaye says, Ba'alea u'mesa potter. That when the Torah organized Knas, it was only in a case where the Avia Nara is the father of a live daughter. She's alive and well. But according to Marbar Avashi, we're not sure about it. Because according to Marbar Avashi, it could be that Misa Osa Bagrus. I'm sorry. What I meant to say is, according to Marbar Avashi, it could be that Misa Eina Osa Bagrus. Ah, if Misa Eina Osa Bagrus, it means the father is still going to collect her Knas. Yes.
Why not?
Are you with me on this? In other words, she's still considered a Nara. She died when she was a Nara. Everything is frozen, so to speak. Nothing changes over here. She still remains a Nara.
But you have a separate leeward.
Excellent. So that's what we want to learn today. That's going to be our subject of what we want to cover here. I apologize because I don't think you have the page here, but it's one paragraph. It's on, if you can make a note of it, it's Tof Mem Ches. So we could do one of two things. Either we can learn the paragraph Isovedic, or we can take a break and photocopy. I would prefer if we, or at least give me 2 minutes to present the thesis, and then I'll give you the book. Because once I give you the book, I don't have it, you know, so I become frozen. So again, the assumption of Abaye is that once she dies, that's it. The whole parsha of Knas is finito. It's what we say, ball game over. Whereas my Rav Ashi is saying, no, that's not what it's all about. The question is, who is in charge? Whose rishus is she in after death? She's a Nara, and the 6 month period of time is not passed, and therefore he's still in the driver's seat. Or do we say no? That the moment she dies, she's out of his rishus. He has no schus in knas. She has no schus in the knas because she's dead, so she can't, you know, she can't be tovea. She cannot, sue for damages. She's dead. And let's assume, it gets a little complicated because maybe even if you hold, we're holding now that ein misa osa bagrus. Ein misa osa bagrus, which means that she's still considered what? She's still considered a Nara. So then the father receives the knas. Right, so no, I'm just going to go into my Rav Ashi. I'm just trying to, the point that I want to get to, which I think is the subject of this discussion, is what would be without the drasha? Why does Abaye need this Yalfusa from V'noslan V'yanara V'lola V'yamesa? And the answer is because if I hold that ein misa osa bagrus, which is one side in Mar Rav Ashi, right? Mm-hmm. In Mar Rav Ashi, ein misa osa bagrus, which means that she's still considered a nara, she's still in the rishus of a father, right? And which means the father is going to collect knots. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be before Abaye's drasha. My Rav Ashi apparently didn't have Abaye's drasha. So my Rav Ashi was analyzing, he was dissecting it from a conceptual point of view. Shall we say that with Misa she leaves the rishus of the Av? Hence, there's no one here to collect knas because Mimarashach, he's gone, he's out of the picture because Misa Sabagris. And she's out of the picture because she's already dead. But there was a tzad to say that ain't miso sabagus, which means that she's still in the rishus of whom? Of the father. It means he's going to collect the knas. Well, that's against Abaye. The answer is, my Rav Ashi is not operating with the Gzeres HaKosev. He doesn't have this Yalfusa. So remember the Gemara's language that Milsa de Pshite Abaye. It's not so partial because again, my Rav Ashi is vacillating back and forth. He's saying this in Rava, but just for your own knowledge. But it's not critical. But just otherwise, some of the words will get messed up here. But my Rav Ashi is telling us that what Rava was mistopic about was whether miso sabagrus or ain't miso sabagrus. He says that's. In other words, what Abaye said is that after she dies, there's no knas at all. That's pshita le'Abaye, but it's certainly not pshita to Mar Rav Ashi. Mar Rav Ashi in Rava is vacillating about whether or not even after her death there would be a possibility for the father to collect her knas. And on the side that the father cannot collect the knas, that's because she's a bogeres, because yesh bagar bekever. I'm sorry. Forget about Yesh Bagar Bekever. Because Misa Osa Bagrus. So the older Misa Osa Bagrus, that's what removes the knas. That's not the drush of Abaye. If you hold that Misa Osa Bagrus is one side in my Rav Ashi, then basically you're holding that there is knas. You're not darshining the pasuk Avi Nara v'lo avi mesa. Even avi mesa could collect knas. The only question is she a bogeres? And if she's a bogeres, there's no one around to collect knas. But on the side that she's not a bogeres, the father will collect the knas.
What is Mar Rav Ashi adding to Rava?
He's reinterpreting Rava because the original suffix of Rava is totally different. Let's go back to the original Suffolk of Rome.
Right, that's where he says the same thing.
No, he's talking about Yesh Baga B'Kev or Ain Baga B'Kev. What that means is that from the time of her death until Amud Abedin, the balance of the half a year passed by. So there, again, there are two, let's call it Rava the First and Rava the Second. Rava the First is the way the Gemara originally interpreted Rava, and the Gemara rejects that, and then we have Mar Bar Avashi's interpretation of Rava. So Rava the First was as follows. The onus took place, Lama Zogin, on her 12th birthday. Just giving you an example, right? The Hamada Bedin took place a half a year later. In the meantime, she died. Yesh Baga B'Keva or Ain Baga B'Keva? In other words, do we assume that her status as a Nara freezes, so to speak, the moment she dies? So you can wait another half a year and you wait all a lot, it doesn't matter, you can wait decades, it doesn't matter, she always remains a Nara, because she died a Nara. And according to that, the father could collect the Knas, even though 6 months have passed by since the onus. But it doesn't matter, she still remains a Nara.
Okay.
Why? Because Ain Baga B'Kever. Or, shall we say, Yesh Baga B'Kever. Then if we wait until the time period passed in which, had she been alive, she would be a Bogeres, we consider her B'Kever as if she became a Bogeres.
That's Rava.
And that's the Suffolk of Rava. That's totally antithetical to Abaye.
Right.
Why? Because what Rav is vacillating about is who collects the knas. If she's a bogeres, then the father is out of the picture. We'll explain in a minute. But if she is considered, if she's considered not a bogeres, she's a nara, then the father will collect knas. The Rava never had the drush of Abai. That's clear. And Rava came to the conclusion that there is knas even after she dies. He doesn't have that drush. Now the question is, who's going to collect that knas? Well, that depends on Yesh Baga B'Keva or Ain Baga B'Keva. If you hold Ain Baga B'Keva, the father will collect the knas. If you hold Yesh Baga B'Keva, then it's her son who will collect the knas. Because in Seder HaNachlos, a son comes before a father.
Right. The Rashi said, yeah.
Is everything clear?
So where is...
Because then we're ready for this Chiddush here, which is the Stipler.
That was Rava Aleph.
Right, Rava Aleph. So Rava Aleph for sure rejects Abaye. The words of the Gemara, Milsa de Pshita Le Labaye, Biboy Le Rava, cannot be understood according to the first formulation of Rava. Why? Because then Rava is assuming that there will be Knas. He's only vacillating who will connect the Knas. If she became a Bogeres, then she collects the Knas. She's not alive. Her son will collect the Knas. If, on the other hand, Ain Baga B'Kever, she remains a Nara and the father will collect the Knas. But no matter how you slice the cake, there is Knas, despite the fact that the Hamad of Edin took place after she died.
And my Ravash, you say there is no Knas.
Oh, but my Ravash has a tzad to say there's no Knas. Not because Yesh Baga B'Kever, but because Misa Osa Bagus. And what it means in Mar Bar Avashi is that Misa Osa Bagus, once she dies, there's no one to collect the knas. Because he'll tell me she's a Bogeris, let her collect the knas on her own. Well, she's dead, and therefore she cannot collect the knas.
So then there's no knas at all.
And there's no knas at all, so, which means that we could reconcile the second formulation of Rava Safek, Mar Bar Avashi's formula, with Abaye. Again, it's not pshitale, but it's at least one side. One side in his vacillation reflects the sheet of Abaye, namely that after death there won't be any knas. And let's just go over the logic. Why won't there be knas? Because Misa Osa Bagrus, and if Misa Osa Bagrus, then she's already considered a Bogeres immediately when she dies.
Is it Rashi here? Big Rashi.
Immediately when she dies, right? That means she's still 12 and change. She's not 12 and a half yet. I mean, change meaning a smaller fraction. And nevertheless, if you hold Ein Misos of Bagrus, then there will be Knas. But there is one side which will allow us to reconcile which allows to reconcile Abaye with Mavra Vash. And that's the tzad to say that ain miso sabagus. He says the following, Me'as suya of Abaye, if he has a drasha here, ain't a stab din p'tur miknas, I'm reading the milsa of pshitale Abaye, mi boile l'rova. Imisa osabagrus o ain osabagrus. Can the boy like Mavravash leave the Rova? The language is a little bit ambiguous. He says Ainze stam din p'tur miknas. I think what he means to say is tzafka. It's not just a p'tur. It's just not shot that well. There's no one to pay or there's no one to claim, you know, to sue him in a court, which is a technicality, but rather it's a p'tur. It's a p'tur meaning that there is no knas. And then he quotes your Rashi, Alma del Abaye misa sabas hi kmo bagrus v'nemakan din de misa sabas hi havka v'yitzia mirshus av. He's not saying exactly what I told you, that's havkov knas. He says Hafkavi yitzia mirshusa av, kishem shebagus hi hafkavi yitzia mirshusa av. If we're going to hold that miso sabagus, then she's out of the rishus of the av. Now again, lechora, we have to be assuming that eino de morish knas lebono. If there's Yerusha here, so in the framework of Marbar of Ashi, even if you hold miso sabagrus, but so what? In the case of Bogeres, she can collect knas. If she's not around, then her son could collect the knas.
Maybe it doesn't mean a knas. Maybe it means the boshes.
Okay, that's going to come up in this discussion too. But as far as the knas is concerned, if you hold misa osa bagrus, is that the same as Abaye? Because Abaye is saying there's a p'tur of knas once she dies. We're saying that once she dies, she's out of the rishus of her father, and she has a din of a bogeres.
Are we saying Eino de Morish Knas Lebonav, or
I think we're going to have to assume that Eino de Morish Knas Lebonav, because again, the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that according to one side in Marbar of Ashi, we can come to a biased conclusion that there is no Knas. Right? Abai says there is no Knas when she dies. But that's not really true, because even if I say Miso Sabagrus, that doesn't mean that there's no Knas. It means the knas goes to her son. Unless, you know, hold ain't other morish knas lebono. It must be that we're holding that. Let's get the cheshbon. So it means ain't other morish. If you hold ain't other morish, so therefore if miso sabagrus, then there won't be any collection of knas, because ain't other morish knas lebono. Right. Is that what you said, Yosef?
Yeah.
I agree with you. Ain't on the Morish Knas.
How does she have a son?
So that's the word that we skipped.
Okay.
How does she have a son?
I mean, she's a...
Right, she right. How does she have a son?
And she died.
Right. And so that's the whole Gemara. So I'm not going to go... For that, you'd have to wake up early in the morning and come to the shtibul. And we'll try to figure out how she has a son. No, I mean, I just, this is the Eve, I want to just focus on the Eve. Alright, we're going to have to stop for Michal, so let me just quickly read this through and then you'll photocopy it. He says the following. Misa mafkas kocha av ki bagus alma de la baye misa sabas ikmo bagus v'nemar kan de misa sabas he hafka v'yitzir mishus av. Kishem shebagrus, he hafka v'yitzir mishus av. V'chi hechi diamrinon diba aleha ubagra knosa liatzma. Afalpi Shamaisa Machaev Hoyavi Oda Nara Bishusa Av. So again, the Maisa Machaev took place when she was a Nara in the Rishus of the father, but then she became a Bogeres and the father's out of the picture. Mm-hmm. The father is she's out of the Rishus of the father. The Elfinim on me crud Vinosnalavia Narlov and Bogeres. Minoy Alfina Navi the Baba Lebanisis Knossoli Atsu and Dinsu and Gamke Motsim Shusav. Akanami Goli crud the Misabas Motsim Shusav. So we may learn Eina Knossliav. Why do we need this whole Josh of Abaye? Not sure. Alright, on both sides, we're going to stop here. If I could borrow someone's. Oh, you know what? I could use a pen, it doesn't matter. So, John, do you have a minute, maybe before Mincha, just to quickly.
Yeah, I have a minute.
Yeah. Tof Mem Ches and Tof Mem Tes.
So, I wrote a piece many, many years ago about the difference between the Kavanas of Mice and the Kiyum of Mice. And after entrance, it says that the Chashid had written the Kabbalah of the Chabor, and the Chashid has to
be the Tzar. Negative say, though, that yes. Mishnah Novus?
Yeah, if you don't know the Matan Tzar, how can you weigh it? And also what the Chad Matan Tzar. So I said there's two things. There's the Kiyum of Mitzah and the Kavanas of Mitzah. So what kind of tzar do you get on each?
Right.
If you have 100 points for a mitzvah, is it 50-50? Or is it 80-20? So that's why it says, she'en after a damn matan tzar. You don't know what the tzar is given. You know the tzar. You know the tzar from the onish. You know that the tzar for Shabbos and the tzar for answering Amen is obviously different. But you don't know. So it's possible, at the time I said, if Ramosha would answer Amen with all his kavanas, he would get more tzar. He'd get more tzar than if I'm the time Shabbos with my kavanas, because 80% has to do with the kavanah.
Right.
So that's the pshat.
But you think it might change from person to person. It's
sure.
Not. It's not said that it's always 50-50 or 60-40.
No. It doesn't change. Shein after they're matan tzar. You don't know what the tzar is given.
But I'm saying, is it the same tzar percentage-wise for everybody, or maybe someone who has a great kavod, maybe he'll get more tzar for the kavod than what you get for the kavod. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true.
It's a different percentage.
My feeling was it's the same percentage.
It always makes the same.
Same percentage, but just that his kavod is worth 1,000 points. My kavod is worth 10 points.
I would say it a little differently. I would say the following: that. You know, if it's the same for everyone, then it's just a matter that we don't know, you know, how much Akamon is worth and so forth and so. But I say even more fundamentally that it's not even a set percentage. It may change from one person.
I have to make a Haggah in my ears.
Yeah,
and that's why in the end it says.